are studying the Gospel of John, chapter 3, which includes one of the most beloved verses in Scripture. This verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life," occurs, as we just heard read, during a very complicated discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus, a religious leader and a Pharisee. We will consider this discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus to gain a deeper understanding of this verse, as well as following Jesus. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the blessings of this life, your unfailing love, your Son, our Savior and Lord, and your Holy Spirit that heals and empowers us. Help us to study this passage so that we may gain a deeper understanding of following Jesus as our Savior. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This story begins with the verse, "There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark, one evening, he came to speak with Jesus." Nicodemus is a Jewish leader. He's a Pharisee. And while many of the Pharisees were opposed to Jesus, this man, Nicodemus, wants to speak with Jesus. He visits Jesus at night, possibly to have more time to speak with Jesus than a daytime visit might allow, or more than likely to prevent others from knowing that he is meeting with Jesus. Now, we can immediately sort of rush to judgment on why he wanted the darkness, but there was a really interesting observation I want to share with you in the commentary by Gail O'Day on the Gospel of John. She indicated that slaves relied on this passage to support their worshiping Jesus. They were allowed to worship only at the discretion of their owners, their masters, and they seldom had access to the Bible. I mean, think about that, that whole pesky Exodus thing where slaves are leaving their masters and going, "Great, my God." And so the slaves were very limited in their worship. So they perceived Nicodemus visiting Jesus at night as a biblical authority to worship Jesus without permission from those in authority. And I think that that's a helpful reminder that she wrote for us to think about persecuted Christians who worship in secret because they love God so much that they want to be worshiping, and they're doing so at risk of their own lives. And so I'd like you to just pause for a moment and think about them. Think about that they are worshiping Jesus. And that's what they believe and are called to do. The passage continues where Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Nicodemus calls Jesus Rabbi, which means teacher. Nicodemus indicates his respect for Jesus by using his name, his title. When he says, "We all know that God has sent you to teach us," he is speaking on behalf of his faith community in which he is a leader. Nicodemus, as a Pharisee, is a religious insider, and he thinks that they know God has sent Jesus. And I think sometimes as religious insiders, which most of us all are, it's important for us to really be confident in Jesus, but also to question what we think we understand so that we are in alignment with God. Nicodemus interprets the miraculous sign that Jesus does as evidence. And for Jesus, remember, faith is believing in what we don't see. After his resurrection, Jesus tells Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And that's us. We did not see Jesus walking on the earth when he was, before he was crucified. And so we have faith. We have faith in things that are not seen. And we are blessed. That's what Jesus is saying right here. We're blessed. Nicodemus is confident in his knowledge. Dear friends, let us put our confidence in knowing Jesus. We place our confidence in our relationship with Jesus. It's like that old saying goes, who you know is more important than what you know. And we know Jesus through our relationship with Jesus, through seeking every day a deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the Greek word that is used for born again in this passage means both born again and born from above. And it's important when you hear these words to know that Jesus is referring to both. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus, how could an old man go back into his womb, his mother's womb, and be born again? So the double meaning of both born again and born from above confuses Nicodemus, and he's looking at more of the born again piece. Nicodemus is now no longer confident in his discussion with Jesus. Nicodemus asks questions of Jesus. Like Nicodemus, we ask questions when we don't understand Scripture, when we don't understand things that are happening in our lives, and may we respond to the answers we receive from the Holy Spirit accordingly. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven without being born of water and the Spirit. Of course, being born of water and the Spirit. It's baptism. Through baptism, we die to our old selves and we are born anew. In holy baptism, God liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are all born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ. Jesus continues, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. Dear friends, we have been born into a spiritual life. We can be confident of that. Jesus continues, the wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. We know the Spirit goes according to God's perfect plan. And we know there are holy mysteries that cannot be explained with human reasoning. May we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, trusting the Spirit, even though we do not know the outcomes of the leading of the Spirit. May we follow anyways in faith, trusting. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you're a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? Jesus is causing Nicodemus to rethink his assumptions. Nicodemus was confident in his knowledge in the beginning of the discussion. Now we're saying he's not so confident. But let's give Nicodemus some credit. He stays with it. He's staying with it. He's listening to Jesus. He's engaging. Let us be open to having deeper understandings of the Scripture as we mature in faith and mature in our relationship with God. And as the Holy Spirit reveals new understanding. I am often surprised and delighted when I'm reading a passage in the Bible, and I've read it many, many times. You know, like a lot of you, I've
been a Christian since
I don't know it. I was baptized as a baby and went to Sunday school. I cannot remember not believing. And yet, all of a sudden, this passage I read and read and read, I get a deeper understanding. And that's a gift from God. And we need to be open to that and to not just assume, oh yeah, I know it, I've read this one before. Be open to the leading of the Spirit. Jesus states, I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? When Jesus refers to we, he is referring to his followers and their testimony about Jesus. And dear friend, as part of the body of Christ, we are now part of this we that expands from time and faith, part of, 2,000 years later, we're part of this we, and we are witnesses to Jesus. Jesus continues, no one has ever gone to heaven and returned. The Son of Man has come down from heaven. Jesus is affirming to Nicodemus that he is the Son of Man, and has come down from heaven. And Jesus knows the Father. In verse 14, Jesus says, and as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Now, this is a little confusing unless you remember a story that's in Numbers 21. Jesus is referring to when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness and they grumbled against God and Moses. They did that a lot. You know, but this particular time, they grumbled against God and Moses, and so God sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Then the people came to Moses and confessed their sin about God grumbling against God and asked Moses to pray to God to take away the snakes. God instructed Moses to make a replica of a snake, a poisonous snake, and attach it to a pole. God promised that all who were bitten will live if we simply look at it. Jesus is using this imagery to tell Nicodemus that Jesus will be raised up like this snake replica that was on a pole, because Jesus will be raised on a cross, crucified, and then resurrected. Moses was obedient to God's instructions, and Jesus was faithful to God's perfect plan, for which we can all be incredibly grateful. Through Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Jesus then tells Nicodemus, the verse we all know and love. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So let's take a moment to consider this verse carefully. First of all, it begins with for. Now, this is not just a preposition. This instance for means because. It means since. Because God loved the world, this is the reason why God gave us Jesus. It's God's love. That's why we have Jesus, for God's love. God loved the world. God loves creation unconditionally. We are loved. Think about that. I mean, I know sometimes, you know, you feel a little bit unloved, a little bit, oh my goodness, what's going on here? We are always loved unconditionally. One of my favorite pastor mentors told me, he wakes up every morning and says, I say yes to your love, dear God, because he wants to affirm that, you know, the world may tell him otherwise. It doesn't matter. It's enough that we have God's love. And so, of God's love, and it's so great that he gave his Son, Jesus. God gave his one and only Son. Now, in other verses, including the next one, God sent Jesus. But in this verse, God gave us Jesus. This is an amazing gift. I mean, we're a month away from Christmas, and you may have gotten some pretty cool gifts. I know I got a couple that were surprising, but nothing in my life compares to this gift. God gave us Jesus. Everyone who believes in Jesus will not perish. Everyone who believes in Jesus will have eternal life. Now, this isn't limited to an afterlife. It's an abundant life now. Dear friends, we have abundant life filled with love as well as joy and peace, no matter what the circumstances we are encountering through our relationship with Jesus. Jesus later on promises this in John chapter 10 when he refers to himself as the good shepherd who gives abundant life. Not later, not in the future, not paradise someday. Now. We have abundant life now. Verse 17. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Now, in other translations, and I will confess I like the other translations a little better, Jesus said he came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's a little different. Jesus will judge. I mean, we know that Jesus will judge the living and the dead on Judgment Day, as we profess in the Apostles' Creed. But this verse is speaking to Jesus offers us salvation and the world, eternal life, rather than condemnation, if we believe in Jesus. Verse 18, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Those who believe in Jesus will be saved. There is no judgment against them. Those who do not believe in Jesus have been judged. We either accept Jesus or reject Jesus. There is no neutral option. There is no in-between. Pick. We affirm our belief in Jesus, our Lord and Savior, when we say the Apostles' Creed and throughout our worship, including the next hymn that we're about to sing. We affirm that belief, and may our lives affirm our belief in Jesus. Jesus continues, and the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. As John wrote in chapter 1, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. And it's also important that we remember, God knows what we do and what is in our hearts. There are no secrets from God. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see what they are doing, that they are doing what God wants. The light that is Christ Jesus continues to shine in the midst of the darkness. And as followers, we are called to reflect this light to everyone we encounter. Christ instructs his disciples and us to love God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, to love our neighbors, as well as to love our enemies. And again, I'm reminded of Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous quote, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Christ's unfailing love will drive out hate, and we seek to demonstrate this love to others." So, in the midst of this very difficult and yet inspiring conversation, how does Nicodemus respond? What does Nicodemus do? I mean, he's got this amazing discussion with Jesus. Well, Nicodemus acted on this discussion with Jesus, and he chose to step into the light. And the Gospel of John records further instances of Nicodemus follower of Jesus, he spoke in favor of Jesus before the chief priests and the Pharisees. And yeah, they derided and put him down, but he spoke the truth. And then, when Jesus was crucified, it was Nicodemus with Joseph of Arimathea who gave Jesus' crucified body a proper burial with myrrh. So let us respond like Nicodemus. Let us hear the teaching of Jesus, hear the scripture, hear the Spirit speaking to us, and step into the light. Amen.